Welcome back to LARPs and TARPs. I am here with...
I am Tom.
Hello, I'm Kerry.
Hello, I'm Alex.
And hi, I'm Morgan.
We are LARPs and TARPs.
Morgan, oh, you're such a CBBC presenter.
We have our children's intro again. Was it? I think you did. No, who did the children's intro last time?
I don't know.
Intro it, it felt like a children's
intro. I feel
TV
like
show.
It was probably me.
I think it was you. It could have been you. That makes sense, though.
That's your career. It does make sense for it to be me,
Welcome back. We are going to be finally rounding off E2 part 3. Now it feels like it has been an entire year since E2, so let's get this done.
Well, E3 is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a month.
That's disgusting.
Is E3 in 2 weeks on release?
On Thursday.
2 weeks on Thursday, yeah. Madness. Insane. This, I can't believe we are... So after, obviously after that, we'll have done 75% of the empires this year.
That's crazy.
Oh.
Like
we're mid LARP season.
We're halfway through this year's empires.
I feel like LARP season just started though.
Yeah.
Decisions. Give us more events.
Yeah. And with less rain, please.
I'm kind of looking forward to the long dark because all the Dread Shields are going to be playing Valheim.
Oh,
to get us through the long dark. Kind of our virtual. I even built a Dread Shields camp inside the game.
Incredible.
Like it was pretty much spot on, like to the chair, to what our camp looks like. It was pretty cool. Except for there was like what 50 boars that were running around and it just crashed the entire thing.
Ah, from the boar's head.
Oh, yeah.
They got out again, god damn it.
Boromir.
Get your boars out.
I remember
I like boar. Tom being unhinged.
What? He said, get your balls out.
I said, get your balls out.
Not balls.
Balls.
Yeah.
Like, who
like the balls
like,
that you were talking
the
about.
The balls I was just saying about.
Yeah. No, I think I get it.
So I thought you said balls because it rhymes with whores.
I thought you said, get your balls out. I don't.
I thought it was a play on, like, who let the dogs out.
Hey, Tom, what was the intention of that? What did you mean, Tom? I just wanted the boars to run free and not be in their little village in Valheim.
Oh.
I am still quite delirious from throwing all the kingdoms. I have still not got my energy or brain back from crewing this
that
weekend.
That noise you just made in response to that, Alex, that... Oh, gosh.
This is going to be one bitch of an episode for you to edit. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So, no, we're staying in.
Yeah,
staying
as usual.
Oh, no, I know.
A lovely, normal, usual start to an episode of LARPs and TARPs.
Yeah.
Sorry to put you on the spot there, Tom.
You're welcome.
I had a point.
You're welcome.
Anyway,
I was making a point. What was the point I was making? Oh, yeah. I feel like this time last year, I was being like, oh, do you know what? Empire's been really good, but I'm looking forward to playing player event season, you know, a couple of dances and things. Now I'm coming around, I'm like, no, more main lines. Where's this happening? What's happening?
But Morgan, how many LARPs have you got coming up soon?
That's a disgusting question to ask me. You can't ask a man how many LARPs he's got coming up.
How rude.
Well.
E3, E4, Hoist the Colours, Eldritch Isle, Oasis.
Nightmare.
Maybe Watch Nightmare, A Foot on the Stairs.
And our player event.
And our... Oh, fuck.
Is that 10? 10.
That's 10.
We're mid-LARP season and Morgan still has 10 more events to go to.
I've got a problem. I need to scale down.
Do you remember when you said, oh, this LARP thing might not be for me?
And then you sent him the wiki.
It's all been downhill since then.
It's all been down... Where's all my money going? Oh, yeah. But yeah, I've got a lot going on. But nonetheless, E3 is coming around.
By the time that we get part 3 of E2 out, it'll be time for pre-LARP.
Pre-LARP.
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it'll be 1 week.
No, there'll be a week and
we'll have a...
Got to squeeze something in.
Hoist?
We'll see how we go.
Yeah.
But yes, so...
Sunday!
Forget about the future, remember the past! We finished...
what they say.
Yeah, that is the common phrase.
Yep.
Don't think about your future, ignore the present, stay in the past. That's when things were good.
The good old days.
But yeah.
A month ago.
Yeah, barely. A month ago? Anyway,
it would have been.
We need to start. Anyway,
it was 2 weeks. Sorry, no.
Doesn't matter. Who cares?
Someone Sunday.
Someone Sunday. I was monster.
Ooh.
Ooh. You You had more in Jotun the previous day.
Yeah, I got to fight the Jotun, which is the Empire's most entertaining monsters, that's for sure. Were you guys all fighting?
I wasn't.
Well, everyone but Kim.
Fighting for our lives. It was ruthless out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sunday's battle was horrific.
It was like Andy Raff was like, how... What do we turn this down? Oh, fuck, I just broke the Dow. We've got nuclear plus.
So
he fully let the balls out that day.
Yeah.
I'll give some... So from our side, from Monstering's side, we were like, we were lining up and they were like, we were getting some rituals ready. And they were like, right, we've got enough Grendel rituals for a really nasty spell. Don't want to say what it is because I don't want to be too... I don't want people to know the stat box too much. We're supposed to keep it quiet. But it was like, we've got enough ritualists. We can really mess them up. We're like, cool. But then they said, actually, guys, sorry, we can't do that. And I was thinking, oh, that's a bit unfair. You know, I was excited.
All my friends, I want to kill them.
And I was very excited to use some nasty spells. And then we saw a land shark.
I still have not seen it.
Then we saw about 20 Siaka heralds. And then we saw plenty of them. About two or three giant crabs. And I went, oh... Yeah, no, fair enough.
We
actually
might not need them.
But they gave us a lot of personal mana. I had Paralyze, I had Repel, and some healing spells, but I'm not using those. So we were geared up for a pretty nasty fight. So what was Muster like?
It was also the Miasma, wasn't there, as well? And you guys didn't get anointed.
Yeah, the Miasma of, like, you feel bloodthirsty, and if you have this RP effect, you get a free cleave, which was... pretty fun, let me tell you, as a mage, as a magician with a free cleave.
What a
that
treat.
Was good. Paralyzing someone and then cleaving them.
Oh. It felt like every monster had about five to ten, maybe 20 strike downs.
Yeah.
I was just constantly on the floor. I think everyone with a shield was just constantly knocked down. It was crazy.
So how was the Dreadshield set up then? Ready for battle.
So we usually go in first. This time around, we went in third.
Okay. Did you lot get anointed, or were you happy for the free cleaves?
Anointed?
I got anointed.
Yeah, there was a role play effect where you were really aggro, was it, or something?
So you get really aggro and think you know best or something like that, so it makes you quite hard to command.
I think,
and you're bloodthirsty, but you get a free cleave if you don't get anointed.
Oh, I didn't know that was happening.
Yeah, it was my first time line captaining, which has been a bit of a goal for my character for a while, so I was really excited for it.
So what is for those of you us? I mean, I know what a line captain does 100%. But for those of us that don't know, what does a line captain do? What we do? What were your responsibilities?
Absolutely no idea.
Shouting at the So you are line captain.
All right, what were you doing?
So the way that the Vaz army is structured is, so we've got the Vaz hammer, Anwin, kind of like the head of the army. And then there's 4, 5, maybe 6 line captains trending, I think, at the moment, where the orders come from Anwin, they go to the line captains, and then the line captains tell the people on the line. So basically, if you hear an order out on the field that isn't from one of the line captains or from Anwin directly, don't listen, don't do it, or just don't be that person to shout orders, because, spoiler alert, it's how people get killed.
Who did I see do that this weekend? Somebody like shouted an order, and then someone turned to him and said, "Who told you to say that? What do you mean? Well, who asked you to say that order? Oh, no one. Then shut up." Because a lot of people are shouting crazy orders, right? Yeah. And things fall apart.
So we'll get to that in a minute. But I had a very similar conversation with someone, and their stupid order. It cost us. Let's say. But anyway.
As a mercenary captain, I have the right to shout out orders.
If they come from...
To your mercenary,
to your mercs, but
not to the entire
nation. As long as it's not going against things that have been told or...
Unless I just go, this battle is no longer profitable. Rich, pull back.
I've lost too much money. I mean soldiers. We will leave.
I've lost interest. Bye.
I'm bored. So paint us a picture. What did you see as you kind of came onto the battlefield? Who were you fighting with, in fact, Tom?
So we were employed to fight with the League. So
Okay, so you were
being
you
paid
fought
to
for
fight
the
for your own nation.
It's the best way. So, yeah, we paid to fight for the league, so we got ordered to get anointed. So we were paid to fight with the national bloc, which I find is a brilliant irony, and I absolutely
the story of your journey as a character is incredible.
Yeah.
So you were leading what, like a fair chunk of Navarre?
Well, the Dread Shields.
And a fair chunk of Navarre.
Oh, right. Okay, yes. Cool.
Kind of pretty scary because, you know, at the beginning at muster, you know, we all kind of stood up and were introduced at who we were. And then Amwin was like, if you hear an order that's not from one of these people or me, don't listen. And I was there and it kind of really started to sink in.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've actually got to do stuff here.
Neve's evolved from just being, I don't know who I am, I don't know why I'm here, all I know is I must kill, to being that person who stands in front of a troop, of like an army, and just goes, right, guys, I don't know why you're here, I don't know who you are, all I know is
like, you've got to kill.
So, character development. We're not the best people to have in command, are we?
Well,
speak for yourself. Chloe did amazing, I'm sure.
But thanks. But yeah, it was just a really, really difficult battle for
it
to
so
be.
So many objectives.
Yeah, there were quite a few.
So,
thanks.
From the top of my head, there was the Kraken eggs. I think was it 13 Kraken eggs or 19 Kraken eggs. There was the Grendel child who went on a pirate adventure who we had to get back because we could take him hostage and get more money, ransom back to his family.
For a Grendel child. What?
Yeah, there's a Grendel child on the battlefield.
I don't know if it,
around
I don't,
the battlefield.
I thought it was just a child that had been captured by the Grendel and their family was just very rich.
Something like that.
There was
anyway.
There was a child and money.
Child and money.
And
was,
I couldn't kick it.
I was going to say, Neve didn't see them.
There was
some rituals
there was
we had to stop, wasn't there?
There was some rituals for something. There was
there was two rituals. Oh, gosh. Thunderous Deluge, another one. Both of them create, like, bad weather, more or less, to cut a long story short.
Were they trying to do a Sharknado?
Kind of. the Wind of Fortune around it basically said, there has never been a time in recorded imperial history that both these rituals have been triggered at the same time. The results of both these rituals happening at once are unpredictable, unknown. All we know is they'll be catastrophic.
Yeah.
That's fun. The context I can give.
Fun time.
From the
someone's
going
to end up flying their house to us.
Potentially. Well, we don't know. We don't know if the objectives
maybe
were achieved.
Were they? Okay, that's good.
Spoilers.
There was another objective, which was we had a spy in with the Grendel, and it was just an objective to not kill them. I think that was kind of it.
Okay. Mm.
I think we had to get the spy out, but unsuspiciously.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? I have no idea.
No, that sounds about right. There was, yeah. And also, it was really funny. I think that from our perspective as an EMU, is that we were told when we were making the EMU, right, you're Grendel, you're Spring Magicians, but you're not Siaka cultists, all right? It's not what you are. You just channel spring magic. Maybe you're like Siaka, but you're not a Siaka cultist. Then we get to E1. They're like, right, just to reaffirm, no sharp motifs. Right, we don't want any of this. We don't want any Siaka cultist goings on. Right, you're just Grendel, very elite soldiers. E2 monstering. So you're Siaka cultists. And we were like, oh, fucking hell.
So many people were chanting Siaka.
Siaka.
Yeah.
Siaka.
It was actually kind of terrifying.
I can actually see the terror in Chloe's eyes as she stares off into the lower distance of just like, there was so much blood.
You go to Spain on holiday, I get traumatized.
We're not the same.
Before we had went on the battlefield, we had the Orc Egregore selling death certificates, which were guaranteed to save your life.
Yeah.
You could put your name, put the name down of someone else and he would take the death. I don't know who it was, but apparently a leaguer, I think, put down Murdoch's name.
Really?
I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was a leaguer, but someone I heard said, one of my jackdaws came up to me, someone's put Murdoch's name down on the death certificate.
Not surprised. Yeah. That happened to you.
Yeah, Agni or Agnes did it to me on E1.
Agni.
Agni. That sounds like a plural.
It's a herd of Agni. Run! So many sausages.
So Agnes put down Owen.
Owen. Oh. So they were calling me Owen a lot. Anyway, apparently it was because I was calling them Agnes, but I think they just thought my name was Owen. But yeah, they did that to me at E1. So if they died, with no armor, mind you, no. Agnes had no armor, but if they died, then I would die in their place.
Interesting.
But yeah, I don't really remember a lot of what the objectives were on the battle because I was mostly just laying on the floor because I was just strike down constantly.
And then felt like you were doing sit-ups the whole time.
Yeah. There was a point where if it wasn't for a ref intervening, I would have died.
Yeah.
I was down, they were pushing forward, our line was pushing back, and I was just next to this tree and apparently it was kind of dangerous terrain, so a ref came in and stopped it. And as he was kind of stopping it, I was like, I'm bleeding out here, I'm going to die. And then under it by one arm, I felt grabbed by Corin. And then I was like, we need another arm. And then Steve was on the other side. I was like, yeah. Yay. And they picked me up and took me back. I was Yippee. Like, oh, thank God, yeah. But managed to get through. But yeah, Grunfoss again was with me, being the cleave machine. Kept, bestowing me with cleaves? What's the word?
Empowering
me. And we got a couple of cleaves that monsters didn't take, which was a bit meh. Mm. But yeah.
They don't always hear it.
Yeah, true. Although I do shout very loudly, but yeah. It is hard in an orc mask when your ears are covered and things like that to hear
it. Yeah, you might not know that it's the person who's hitting you that's shouting it when there's that many people around, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I've never worn the orc mask.
There was one guy cleaved on the leg and he looked down and he was like, no, look, it hit my bag.
Oh.
And I was like, and it was just like
be a monster and just take it, maybe.
Yeah, like, it was like a little leather satchel that was hanging. Like it wasn't like he had like a briefcase. Like,
I don't actually think that stops it.
No. I was gonna say, like, in fact, stop it in real life.
I'm almost saying that doesn't stop it. Like the rules are armor, not your armor. Bag.
Yeah.
So we stood there with Grunfoss and I was like, that should have counted. Also, sorry you wasted your empower.
Also, Kerry, you're so right. You're monstering.
Yeah, just go for it.
Who cares? Yeah. Oh, I don't want to go to respawn.
If I'm monstering, I'm going to die a million dramatic deaths.
Yeah, die. Why not?
But at one point, as the cleave machine, a.k.a. me and Grunfoss, were running through the woods, we saw a very sad and woozy-looking Gwyn next to a tree with their head against the tree. And I think it was Grunfoss who noticed and first and was like, oh, are they okay? And I looked, and it was haunting. Like, he had his head against the tree and was just staring kind of at us, but also into just, like, the mid-distance, just into space, and was... You could see his mouth was moving, like he was counting. And we were like, oh, he must be counting out his bleed count. So we got a healer over... Just saw his lips moving, because there wasn't much sound coming out. So we called a healer over and got him picked up and taken back behind our line, and we progressed forward. And that was the last I'd heard of it until...
Oh, fuck.
Neve came over to us later on in the fight.
So we had pushed out the corp, and we were at the... We were at Midgate, we were at the bridge. And I keep forgetting the character name, and I'm so sorry, but Sophie from Fancy Nuts... Their character, they're a member of Embercast. They came up to me, and actual tears in their eyes, like not just looking sad, actually streaming with tears, came up to me and was like, "I'm so sorry. I tried my best." I kind of looked. I was like, "What do you mean?" And she just went, "It's Gwyn," and handed me his Dreadshield pendant that we all wear around our necks. That we
had literally got sworn in the day before.
Yes, we had sworn Jack in or Gwyn in on the Saturday. And yes. And she was like, I'm so sorry. And do you know what? Like, you see it in movies happen. You think, oh, that's such like an overdramatic thing. But she was talking to me and I just didn't hear what she was saying.
Mm.
Like, I could hear nothing.
Just hear your heartbeat.
Not even that. It was just silence. Like, she was just talking to me and I have no idea what she was saying. She was trying to explain to me about what...
Oh, yeah, it happened. Really dramatic, like final words and stuff, didn't it?
Yeah, which I found out a little bit later. But, so we had lost Gwyn.
I can just, like, hear. It's literally like a scene in the film, isn't it? Where it's like, it's Gwyn, and you just hear that. There's talking in the background. You're just kind of there like...
Yeah, literally.
I might put that in the episode. Yeah, well,
Wynn, who literally showed us the way to Empire. I mean, I guess all you guys and Lupita. But, you know, like, literally he's been there since our first day.
Yeah.
Gwyn was the person that introduced Neve and Otis to the Dreadshield. So if it wasn't for Gwyn, I know certainly for Neve, like, she wouldn't be where she is now. And we wouldn't have the LARP experience that we have now.
And on the Saturday night, Rook, after a long time of Gwyn fighting with the Dreadshields and being pretty much a part of the Dreadshields and giving his life for the Dreadshields, offered Gwyn the chance to swear his name to the banner. This is the night before. And Gwyn said, I'll do it with pleasure. So he had his full swearing-in ceremony. He touched the banner. He got his sash and his necklace and was officially a Dreadshield, and then went into battle the next day and unfortunately died. And we found out later that he wasn't counting his bleed count. He already knew that he was a goner, and he was saying prayers. He was praying. Oh, that's why his mouth was moving.
He had turned around to Sophie and had said, because she was like, is there anything I can do to make this any more comfortable for you? Like, do you want any pain relief? And apparently he'd said, no, I want to feel every ounce of what I'm dying for. And he asked if he could be turned to face the battle so he could watch the Dreadshields go off into
and
the line.
And he asked to pass on a message to you, I remember.
I'm going to cry.
Actually, Chloe's tearing up. Morgan's crying in the corner.
It's so emotional. Like, this is our first experience with, like, a character death that we're close to. And it's so crazy and emotional.
Well, you haven't got to the funeral.
You'll get used to it.
Gwyn had asked for a message to be passed on, which actually never reached Neve. But Gwyn had asked for someone to come and deliver the message to Neve to just say that he was proud of her.
It's
so good that it didn't reach Neve on the battlefield.
You're really great.
I am.
Oh my gosh.
It's really good that it didn't reach her on the battlefield, because I would have melted.
Yeah.
I would have just been a puddle amongst the puddles. Oh, it was crazy.
I always go off. Like, you always go off to the battle, and I'm never, like, in the battle. I'm always just like, it's fine. I've checked on them after every battle. They're always fine. They're going to be all right. And I'm just, like, sat there at the Orc Cafe that I always go to while you're fighting. Mm. And I'm just chilling there. And I just see Yana from the distance coming back after the battle. And I walk over to her, and the look on her face.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, what's happened?
It was awful.
Win. I was like, oh, my God.
It was the first time experiencing as well, walking back out through the gate without, you know, heads held high. And
yeah, usually that was good proud fun moment. And, yeah.
Without everyone,
yeah. Yeah. it was really sad. We did not have our heads held high. But anyway, on a lighter note, what were the silly, daft jackdaws doing at this point?
So the silly daft...
Three of them died too.
A four.
Oh, no. It's all sad.
So, we march in proudly with the National Bloc, finally getting paid by a personal goal of getting paid for our own nation, which I just find is a beloved irony. As Morgan's was saying, my character arc is a funny one of going to, I will fightly fight for free for the Bloc, to being outvoted by my own troops to become a mercenary company, to then charge the National Bloc to fight for them. It just feels fantastic.
Yeah,
it's such an insane... like loop, like how this has happened. You're like, I just want to be a little guy fighting for the Reapers.
Little lion,
actually,
maybe.
I don't want to fight for the Reapers. I'm going to be part of the National Bloc.
The Reapers are the big boys. I'm going to start my own club.
Yeah, now I'm going to make my guild against the Reapers. 6 months later, happy birthday to you from the fucking Reapers. And then, like, a few months later, fighting for the National Bloc, getting paid.
What a time in your life. What business? We feel really well briefed. The League National Bloc does a great brief, make sure everyone's got herbs, everyone's very aware of what the objectives are. We go through it like 5 or 6 times as we go down. We're all made to be anointed, though a few of my more aggressive troops slip through the net, the line breakers. So
they weren't
kind
anointed,
of,
clearly.
They did not get anointed. So we march on to the field. Happy as Larry, National Bloc. And we go through the gate And the first thing we do is take the right flank of the field marching in, and we instantly hit a line of Grendel and Tiaka heralds. So, fighting for our lives. I think I take a couple down, but then my leg gets cleaved. So, before I even get time to do Relentless, two of my troops pick me up and whiz me off to the back line to fix my leg. After my leg has been healed and I can get back, I come back to find, oh, fuck. Two of my troops have been eaten by Tiaka heralds. This is in the first 5 minutes of the battle because we just got hammered straight onto the field. Early.
Well, to be fair, Gwyn went down, I think, within the first 5 or 10 minutes.
It was
brutal from the get-go. We were just massively outnumbered.
I like how you were just like coming in third in line thinking, oh, easy breezy.
Yeah, we're going in late.
We're all right, yeah.
Why not see any action?
Oh, no, Gwyn's dead.
Oh, fuck.
So I find two of my troops just lying dead or dying under a tree. One of them is Sorrow, lovely player, Toby. Doesn't really hang out with the Jackdaws much on the battlefield, in Anvil, but comes to all the battles and likes to do the skirmishes as well. They died a couple of events previously on a skirmish where they were ordered to be the only survivor. They were the only one to die on the event they were leading. So
bad at following orders.
Yeah. And the other one was Bertie, the one who'd been causing me no end of trouble all weekend, played by the wonderful James. Who was originally Reiner.
One of the founders of the Jolly Dragons.
Who died at sea, who then started playing Luther, who disappeared doing Mero stuff, who came back as Bertie. And the bad thing is he was really, really starting to get into his character.
Yeah.
After all this time, he had game. He was really enjoying being with the group. And, yeah, he got his dick eaten by a Tiaka herald.
Or so he says.
Living
and,
the dream.
And I just remember him going up to like...
That's your dream, is it, Morgan?
Don't let me die on this battlefield. Please get me back to Anvil. So
did he get eaten by Tiaka heralds?
Partly.
Well, if you got eaten by Tiaka heralds, you got executed.
He went... Kind of just went term.
Oh, whatever. Though.
I heard that if you die to Tiaka heralds, you don't get to go through the labyrinth.
I don't think that's true.
You said that wasn't true.
Is that a rumor?
I don't think that's true.
A sharky rumor.
They're just saying that to instill fear so that you'll find more cowards on the battlefield.
There's no reason I can think they would because they're not like a spiritual entity. But
let us know in the comments.
Yeah, if anyone does
know. Yeah, I don't even think Cold Sun does that, and Cold Sun vaporizes you.
So. I heard it regarding Dave.
Like we might have heard this from the same place. Like
I might be wrong. I just have never heard that before.
Either way, his dick's not making it through the labyrinth.
Either way.
Yeah, so...
It lives on inside the Tiaka herald's stomach.
So he's pleaded to go back through the Sentinel Gate, so Gustavo's our line sergeant picks up both Sorrow and Bertie so their bodies get back to Anvil. And he's like, Nietzsche, you need to give me a hood of death because I was the one who took Salt's body back through the Sentinel Gate when they died.
The real Reaper.
So Ned is becoming the real Reaper. So,
or the Jackdaw's Reaper.
At this point, we're rather infused. Some of us had held back to get healed. Some of my lot had gone charging down the field in a fit of rage, and the rest of us are trying to just move in formation with the block. We come across a land shark, which was fucking cool. So I got a few hits on that as little anvil tourist. He's like, ooh, something different.
Whack, whack, whack. How exciting.
Poke, poke, poke. Didn't kill it myself, but people did. And it was fun to see once the handlers got killed, it was just swooping around the battlefield with its mind of its own.
Aimlessly. Oh, okay,
yeah, crashing into Grendel lines and our lines, which was very interesting to see.
Cool.
So it was kind of like, okay, keep your eye on the Grendel at the front, but watch your fucking backs in case a land shark comes into you.
So roleplay-wise, was that it pretends to knock into you and people have to like...
It's a mass strike down.
It's a mass strike down.
So as they come through, there's a ref going, strike down, strike down, strike down, strike down.
That's so cool. That must look
great.
Or
repel as well, I think. They'll go like repel because you've been knocked off.
Yeah,
that makes
sense.
That's awesome.
Yeah, had to do a bit of running because there was some Grendel taking the flank. So my cardio is a lot better without Clank on, apparently, but managed to hit those lines. Then I think that's when we went into the woods and went to the right flank.
I can never remember battles in this much detail. Like every time you say, what happened to the fight? I'm like, I ran around and whacked some cunts and you're here talking about like flanks. I'm like, I don't.
It's my little speciality.
Yeah, I'm just very impressed. I'm like,
I can remember every second of this thing. Like it was so traumatic.
It's just me. I'm just stupid.
I was sat in a cafe.
I can't remember names I hear or something I'm told 2 seconds ago, but when it's vividly imprinted on my mind, it will stay imprinted.
Yeah. I do think it's because I run around a lot. So it's like, usually it's kind of like we're looking for holes to plug. So I'm not looking at the bigger picture. It's like, okay, there's a gap there. We're going to run, smash it really hard. Yeah. Once that's dealt with, run somewhere
like
else.
Tunnel vision.
So we're less thinking about kind of like the maneuvers of it, maybe. Yeah.
So we go off to the right-hand flank. Because we're in the woods and because of how pumped up you guys are, it just became a line fight at that point. There was no room for the block or the jackdaws to do our speciality of flanking. It just became an utter grind. I don't know if that was the same for Navarre.
It was exactly the same for us. So we were on the left flank and we're meant to be, the dredge shields are meant to be like the same as, you know, quick, heavy-hitting flankers as well, but we've ended up line fighting for the past year just because the situations of all of the battles. And we were all of Navarre that were there, we were all just on the front line because there was us, I think High Guard, and then you guys?
Brass Coast were next to us, I believe.
Ah, so there must have been a bit of bleed between them.
Yeah,
the end.
It was an interesting one because I think Brass Coast had the linchpin of holding the middle, and Brass Coast are a great nation, but I would not put them as a holding force in the middle with how squishy their armor brief is. Yeah.
So it was very line fighting. It was tough. It was really, really tough. So there were calls that were made by people that were not in any sort of position. There were calls to push when there shouldn't be, when there wasn't the call to push. And I went over to someone and I said, where's this order come from? They were like, oh, well, they're stood right there. There's the, you know, we've got the time. I'm like, no, we are not. Like, we are.
Yeah, you don't make we that have, decision.
I was like, if the order has not come from me or one of the other line captains, you do not make this call. I was like, we are not in a position to push. There is 7 of us and there is about 40 of them.
There's a picture that a photographer took from behind the dredge shields and you can see just a few of us and then what we're facing, and it's just an entire row from left to right-hand side of this picture and several rows behind of Grendel. It was horrifying. Yeah.
I think our flank had a lot more in it because the block and the jackdaws stood together, making a force of 40. We did a great job of mostly sticking together. Mm. But even with us trying to push, just one step at a time, move forward, we were getting nowhere with all the calls you guys had, the strike downs and the cleaves, the repels.
Yeah.
We were just unable to make a dent. Yeah. The one successful thing I did see on the battlefield was marching into that woods, seeing some of your lot break an egg. That was the only success.
Something really fun to consider as a monster is obviously everyone gets one cleave per battle. Do you know what happens when you die?
You could get another cleave.
You get your cleave back. You get all your mana
exactly
back.
Exactly why you should go down as a monster.
Yeah, go back and recharge.
It's like getting a long rest.
It was a war of attrition and the Empire were losing this one completely.
It was so difficult. But we had a group that were fighting with us. It was like their second event. Their camp's next to the Dreadshield camp. They're called the Dusk Owls. And there were 4 of them that were fighting with us. And I think there was 3 of them that were fighting. And out of those 3, 2 of them died.
Oof.
And that was, one was trapped behind enemy lines and devoured by a Siaka Herald, which, terrifying.
Yeah.
And the other one was hit with a paralysis spell during a shield wall retreat and then just absolutely skewered, which is a very, very brutal, brutal way to go.
Yeah.
But sorry for getting you guys killed. But, you know, they seemed pretty cool and they were like, yeah, like, we'll definitely be back.
Oh, sweet. What a way to go.
But, there was a point where it had been like a solid half an hour and I hadn't heard any orders or anything like this. I was very much out of my depth. No idea what I was doing. Like, I actually thought I was going to have like an OC panic attack at one point because I got really lightheaded and I started to like shake and freak out. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? And then luckily I had Dill and Ferg who were just like, it's fine, we're good, like, just, we're fine. And then within the space of, and I shit you not, within the space of one whole minute, I had three people come and give me really conflicting orders. One was for a retreat, one was to push, and then one was to push to the left flank. And I was like, what do you want me to do here? So then I was like, right, but this is my job to make this decision. And, oh, I'm not qualified to make a decision. But I was like, right, we're going to start a retreat shortly, but we're just going to have one hard push and just wait for people to start retreating. But I don't think I've ever been so grateful to see a Crimson Reaper.
I know the player you're talking about, and he's fantastic.
Yes. So we spoke about meeting him on the Saturday. Kostya? I actually can't remember.
I think it's Kostya.
We'll go with that. Kostya. Sorry if I have got it wrong. Fantastic character. But came up to me and was like, all right, Kiko, what do you want? Do you want any help? And I was like, I've never been so grateful to see feathers in my life. I was like, yes, please. We have gaps. We are very weak. Just stand behind my guys, get in the way, push. And then I turned around to one of them and I was like, you see that one there? And pointed to Alex. I was like, anything happens to him, I'm going to hold you personally responsible. You do not let him out of your sight. And we're like, okay. And I was like, you protect that one at all costs.
Meanwhile, me on the floor screaming.
Shouldn't have favourites on the battlefield, but sorry.
Oh, I do.
But
we all do.
As a line captain, you can't.
He can.
but yeah, so Crimson Reapers so thankfully just came and just filled in our gaps and our lines and helped reinforce us. And I was like, that we would have crumbled. So it was fantastic.
Yeah.
The General of Highguard came up and started talking to me and was like working with the laws and stuff. And I was like, my God, this is all so wild. There was a very traumatic scene that we witnessed, which I see we couldn't witness, but I see we could. There was a point where the ground was cordoned off because it was unsafe. So one of the Embercast lot had gone down, but the ref had like stopped the fight and had pushed everyone to the side and back because the ground was unsafe. But as the line and everyone moved, they hadn't moved this person that had gone down. So we were like, well, you can't retrieve them now because the refs have put up this invisible wall. So, like, technically we couldn't see them. We could see them.
OC. So it's like they'd fallen off a cliff or something.
Yeah, but it's like, well, surely...
Glitch through the map.
Yeah. It's like, surely if you had moved the line, then you should have moved that person that was down as well.
Yeah.
Like, if you were shifting everyone, that means shift everyone. But, yeah, so this person, their character died because... and got devoured by Siaka Heralds, which it really sucks in that way, but, you know, it's... Yeah, and that was not the only other person in our little corner of Navarre that got devoured by Siaka Heralds.
No.
Dave, yeah. Mr. Gellert Ashbourne.
The Mr. Militia Man.
Rest in peace, my friend.
One of the senators of all time.
One of the senators.
The throne maker.
That's what he says.
If you want to hear the tragedy that is the death of Gellert, then go and listen to the LARP Noobs podcast because Millie and Bung do talk about it and it is traumatic.
Yeah. They are one of the podcasts of all time.
They are one of the podcasts, yes.
I think it was at that point that I'd almost given up hope. Like, our line was just getting pushed down. I'd been down to one hit point or less about four times at this point and heard that Gwyn had died, looked, saw that Gellert was dead, and I was like, we're all done for here.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, looked to my right, and some Crimson Reapers came in with actual shields and pole arms, people that look as though they're meant to be line fighting, unlike us dread shields, and the relief just washed over me.
There were so many different points that I could talk about, but it was just absolutely wild. And then we were starting our retreat, and we were one of the last out of that woods.
Yeah.
And... oh, so to the person that was playing the Grendel that I screamed at, pull your blows. There was one particular Grendel.
There's always someone on the battlefield, isn't there?
Because I understand you get into it, and there's been times where I haven't pulled my blows, and like it's sometimes you do just get so into it, and like I get that it happens, but there was this one person that it always seems to be me. but that was repetitively hitting me. Like, not hit, hit, hit. It was hit, 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 hit. And it was hard, and it hurt.
Yeah, even, the hits don't even count if it's that quick.
No, but the ref was stopping people because I was tangled up in a bush. Because where I'd been walking back, I hadn't seen where I was walking, and I was tangled up in a bush. Like, my leaves were wrapped around my feet, like I couldn't move, and he was continuously hitting me. And I was like, the ref's telling you to stop because I'm about to fall arse over into this bush. So I screamed, pull your fucking blows, you cunt. So I know that that's not really IC, but I got really mad OC.
I think that's fine.
That's Chloe.
Yeah,
that was Chloe. Neve. That wasn't Neve. And then
I think that's fully fine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And so I screamed at you. So sorry if that was you, but also I'm not sorry. Sort your shit out.
If you're monstering and you, like, it's not your entire job, you want to give people a challenge, but don't. Like,
the opportunity to give a good game and look cool. This is what winds me up. I will never, like, playing to win, I don't.
I never go out as a monster and think I'm going to kill someone's character.
Do you know what? I'm going to use my anonymity to whack the shit out of someone and not get in trouble.
No.
For
I go out. My goal as a monster is get a couple of hits in to maybe scare a player into, oh, maybe I could die, but then to give them a cool kill. I never go out thinking.
I think I'm very much there to kill players, but not for the fact of like I'm going to execute them or make it deliberately harder. Yeah. I'm going to act as an orc would to be able to try and kill them. But I feel like the big problem here is the out of character injuries and the really whacking people.
You should be
trying to kill players because.
You want to make it dramatic and fun.
You don't want to be like. Cheating to save your character. You don't want to be like, oh, the refs are saying stop. I've got no skin in this game. I'll just pull back for a second and let them adjust. I think what I did this weekend as a little bit of a moment is somebody lost their antlers whilst I was monstering. So I ran forward, picked them up and gave them back to them and then scrambled back behind the line. Because I was like, I've lost my antlers on the battlefield so many times.
Yeah.
I feel like people forget we're playing a little game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Some people just get so into it. But it's like, I don't go out with the intent of killing someone. If I feel as if I've got like 5-6 hits on a person, I'll be like, all right, I'll rein it back for a second, let them either try go get healed or just execute the fuck out of me. Like, I don't purposely not hit them, but it gets to a point where I'm like, oh, hey, like this actually, I might be a bit intense for this person. Like, I'll see what they're, if they want to try and give it a bit more, then we'll go for it. And if they get hit more, then that's their fault.
Well, you're too sweet right now.
But sorry, like, I'm just, are you all believing this?
Who are you and what have you done with
sorry, I seem to remember approximately a year ago having an attempted murder put on me.
Yeah, but that was you. That's different.
Yeah, I know it was me. Yeah.
That was you. It's different.
Because you're not doing it, you're getting everyone else to kill him.
Yeah, that's true. I did not hit you once during that battle. I got everyone else to do it.
Well, I had a way.
I mean, mine and Alex's thing is personal. I was like, oh my, I know that shield.
Oh God, your cleaves. Your strike downs. They come out of nowhere. He pops out from behind a tree.
Strike down. I'm like a whack-a-mole. The same side of this one. But you said you've been struck down like 10 times this time, but.
Oh,
it wasn't Tom this time.
No, not this time.
But previous events, Tom's like a heat-seeking missile for me and my kilt. It just goes straight for me.
I know you've got those juicy legs out.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't see any of you on the battlefield that one time I monstered.
No, it is quite hard as well, especially like if people have got masks on. But yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Like, monstering is... Yeah, you want to give them a challenge, but equally, you don't... You want to have fun. Like, my objective is when I go out there.
You don't want to physically, OC piss people off. Yeah,
exactly.
Them. You know, that's not what the game is.
How's the, most fun way I can die and throw myself to the ground and give a death gargle and give people a good time? But, yeah. And there's also points on the field, like, as you say, Morgan, giving the antlers back to that person. And it's a little bit OC where
it's
you can...
We're playing a game.
Don't take it seriously. There was someone who knocked me to the ground and I was down and I was dead. And then I was ready to put my hand up and walk off. And I kept putting my foot in this hole. So I struggled twice to get up. And he came over and he gave me his hand to let me up. And I was like, but I'm a monster. We're enemies and you're helping me.
And then you betrayed him.
And then betrayed him, stabbed him in the throat.
When I actually did Monster, I got my leg cleaved and I was just there right on the front lines, like on my knees, like waving myself, like, ah! And someone just went, no, we're not doing this. Like, somebody come get your person. We're not going to kill them like this. And I was like, oh, getting dragged back up.
I had a wonderful time. Monstering.
I'm sure you did.
I had a great time.
But it was like a walk in the park.
Chanting Siaka. We also had a thing where if we didn't think a warrior had performed properly, we would take them before the Sky Mage. We'd be like, Sky Mage. They fought badly. And he would be like, it is their death. And then we'd beat the shit out of Grendel. And we were lying to Grendel, who were bleeding. I'd be like, we'll heal you. And we took him back and we sacrificed him in the name of Siaka.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
It was so good. There was like, players were seeing it. Obviously, Seagulls kill other Grendel. And they're like, what the fuck. I was on my bleed count as an orc, and then someone came up to me and executed me. I grabbed their hand with their knife and screamed, bleed me for Siaka, and then slit my own throat with a knife.
Oh, metal.
No.
It was so good.
This is how you're monster, guys. Take
it was great. Being
don't
like,
I ever get to kill you?
I don't know. I'm less identifiable as a Grendel, because I don't have... Actually, I do have...
Well, you're going to be, when you actually wear your... What, your
little bodysuit? Your
bodysuit. Someone else has beaten me to the orc skin suit now. It's like I'm copying them, but I haven't been able to wear it because it's been too sweaty and gross. Mm. But yeah, I had a fantastic time. Paralyzed. Do you know what's fantastic? Watching a line move backwards and be like, not you, paralyzed. Well, and then the moonlight.
Did you say
like,
you saw me in that battle?
Yes, I did. I was like, I'm going to get to Tom. Excuse me.
Did you manage to get to me?
No, I didn't get you.
It was cramped in those woods.
Really good way to break a line. Quite a small line. I had four repels at one point. So I saw repel. Four shields leave. The line goes because they're like, well, we can't hold this. Mm. There's no one left.
See, me and my little ambi sword's like, right, okay, I guess I'm filling that gap then. I should.
Yeah, I had a fantastic time. In terms of objectives, both the rituals were quite a cast.
Mm-hmm.
We had 14 eggs left.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing you achieved was getting like not killing someone. And then at the end,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, at the end, a friend of the podcast, James, came up chanting, what was it? What was it? Madruga's... what was it? He'll be listening now. What is it?
Go on, James, tell us.
Yeah, tell us, James. Go on.
Tell us in the comments.
Yeah. Madruga's getting fucked, getting fucked. Madruga's getting fucked. And there was that moment after the battle, I was like, yeah! And they were like, oh...
Shit.
Oh.
You're like, well, that went really well. Shit, I'm a monster. That was not good.
So how was the rest of the battle for you guys, just finishing off? Did you do anything else after the Reapers came?
Curled up in a ball and cried.
Just the retreat was long, painful. Lines kept pushing. We kept retreating. But I had a little, not like a little mama hen moment, but as I was walking back, like I said, we were one of the last of Navarre to leave. There was only a few people still left on the field at the point of us leaving anyway. And I saw a couple of our lot. I saw Murdoch carrying out Agni, saw Otis going through. I was like, okay, well, this hopefully must be the last of us. And I had a look around and I stood and I waited on the field for another minute, maybe a minute and a half, to make sure that no one else, none of mine, were still there. I was like, God damn if I'm leaving anyone else behind on this field. And I made sure that everyone was through. And then as I was walking back through the Sentinel Gate, it was just heavy.
It was heavy. I thought I was going to die that battle as well.
Yeah.
Didn't get knocked down to my hit points, but I got struck down, tried to get back up, and my knee goes down a hole. So I'm like, in that armor is very heavy.
Mm.
The line's coming back, so I'm going to get trampled by the league block. And if there was a Grendel come any further forward... That's me screwed. Luckily, someone managed to grab my shoulder and I found another reason I like my halberd. It makes a very good stick to push me up and helps me, well, get up because my top half
Old man
is very
Tom.
Heavy. Old man Tom. we lost another jackdaw pulling back. He was trying to pull back and just got struck down or cleaved in the pullback. And
he was a newbie, wasn't he?
No, that was the... Jackdaw trainee who just disappeared on the battlefield and got eaten, apparently. Yeah. Never found what happened to him.
Probably got eaten.
Probably.
Yep.
Pulling back. We're trying to hold the line as long as possible. Modesto's eyes are forward, commanding that way. I think I've come to the realization my eyes since E3 last year with the Jotun, I will always look behind for when we're being flanked or surrounded. Like Modesto, we're being flanked by Siaka heralds. We need to get out here now. It's like, we can't fucking go anywhere. If we do, the line crumbles. Like, that's an order. We're pulling back now. If we do, we do. If we don't do it now, we get cut off completely.
Yeah.
Because the Siaka heralds were flanking, so I went to poke off those guys for a little bit.
They were very hungry.
They were very hungry.
Watching Siaka heralds eat people. Fantastic.
What? It's so fucked.
Oh, right, does it look like?
So...
Latex shark head?
Yeah. So I see. Yeah, and they all like stand in a circle around the person. They all pull out like fake guts and stuff and like splatter all over the person.
Do they start circling like sharks as well?
So
like,
yeah, a couple of them did.
I saw a listener surrounded by Siaka heralds, and I saw him have a very cool final speech before executing himself before they got a chance to do it.
Nice.
It was a very cool final moment. It was also funny to see the Siaka heralds just look at each other and go, food? Food! And then just ate him anyway. I was like, fuck. It was a very cool final moment to kind of be like, fuck you, and then kill themselves.
Yeah. There was one person surrounded by Siaka heralds, and they obviously weren't OC having a great time by it, because obviously it could be quite intimidating.
Yeah.
Obviously the Siaka heralds noticed this and didn't go all hard in with the menacing roleplay.
Oh, yeah.
And this person was having quite an emotional time. So they were just like, sorry, like surrounding them like sharks, but like patting them, like
nom.
We're eating you now. Sorry,
this is
quite
being
sweet.
Consumed.
Yeah,
bye.
I think for my last thing, I want to give Kitty a massive shout out as well. I found Kitty reffing. One of my jackdaws was having a bit of OC issue.
Mm.
Kitty was very professional. When I asked them for the help, they checked in with him, made sure they were all right getting off the field, see if they wanted to stay on or not, and just got them off the field in a very professional and polite manner. So,
oh, lovely.
Massive thank you to you, Kitty, for getting them off the battlefield safely.
Hero.
That's great.
Thank you, Kitty.
There were a lot of OC medical things that I saw there. I think it was just because it was so traumatic and claustrophobic and crazy and
intense.
And intense.
People, it's dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Then the IC panic can definitely bleed into the OC panic.
I didn't see it, but one of my oldest league friends died in that battle as well.
Yeah.
He was Sirio, who I met in the battlefield training at E1, then our first event together, the practice skirmish, been friends for years. Apparently, he wanted to get by enough time for his carter to get out, so went and just glory charged the Siaka herald line.
But it sounds like the most dramatic fight that you guys have had in the entire time we've
been. It's been the most cooked fight we've ever had.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was hard.
It was relentless, yeah.
So, Kerry, whilst we were all dying and killing, what were you doing?
I was assuming that everything was going swimmingly, as it always seems to.
Sharks swimmingly.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, no, absolutely. I meant to do that. And I toddled off to the Orc tea room that I always go to, Venoms and Victuals. And I usually go with Grace, and we usually go on the hunt for Orc's mutt because we have yet to see any. And I didn't have Grace with me because she wasn't at this event, but the person in the tea room recognised me as the person who always comes looking for Orc's mutt and was like, ah, it's you. And I was like, maybe that might be me.
Maybe
yes.
I am the Orc smut hunter, perhaps, by chance.
And I got some terrible news about another character death. The person who makes the Orc smut died the day before on the Saturday night. So, because as is tradition, we always go and they're not there at that event. They finally came to an event and they died before I went to the Orc cafe to ask about them. Also met a listener there, one of the Orcs that I believe Alex and Tom have already met. Who has the jackdaw. Absolutely.
Lovely bloke.
Yeah, he seems lovely. He's joined up camps with the Venoms and Victuals people, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So I just hung out there, really, until I saw Yana coming back up through, is it Murder Alley, the path that winds around the Orc camp?
It will always be Murder Alley.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, yay, look, friend, let's go see. Hi! Just like the look on her face. Like, no, we've lost Gwyn. Oh, my gosh.
Very somber news.
Very somber, yeah. And at some point, I don't know if I bumped into Tristan at some point and he told me that some of the jackdaws were dead. He was like, but don't worry, Nietzsche's fine. I was like, okay, but now I need to find out. But then I want to, wait, is Gwyn going to have a funeral? What's going to happen? I don't want to miss that. But then which jackdaws are dead? I know the jackdaws too. Like, what? You guys are always fine. What is happening? So it was a bit of a crazy, crazy moment. I came to sort of see you and see how you were getting on as well. I think you'd come up the path just after Yanam, actually.
I was walking back because I'd made sure, like I said, I'd made sure that everyone was through first, and I took a couple of minutes to make sure that everyone was off. So I was a bit behind, and I walked past you guys, and you and Yanam were like, Niamh, and I'm like, look, I don't have words. I was like, I don't have words, and I just carried on.
I was like, shit, it was Chloe's first time commanding, and Gwyn's died. So, yeah, I knew Niamh would have taken that hard.
It was really fucking hard.
I found out about Gwyn OC when I was coming back. I was like, I can't know this. Don't tell me this. I need to respond, IC. And then found out IC like ran over to the glade where he'd already had Turn the Circle cast on him. Yeah. And I was just like...
Yeah. So Yanam came over to our camp and was like, Gwyn's body is in the glade, you know, come out. And Jack was actually there but had gone like a couple of minutes before we got there.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, this is such a shame, but it was kind of good because I think that he had said, like, if I had heard everything, then it would have been really emotional. So it's kind of good that he wasn't there.
Yeah, I think he felt like it would have been weird as well.
Yeah. But we...
Which, having gone to my own LARP funeral now, it is a bit weird.
But we all said words. We had a moment of silence. Rook sung a song.
Oh my God, yeah, I nearly cried. Like, I actually started proper because, like, I mean, I'm not as easy to tears as you are. I don't know. Like, I was trying, but then when Rook started singing, I was like, oh God.
Yeah. We tied. Was it his pendant or his sash?
His sash to the tree.
Yeah, and then we went back. The Ashbournes were having their funeral for Gellert. But then I think you, Tristan, did you come to our camp first? Or did we just see
there.
You?
We all ended up there.
Yeah.
Well, we saw you on the way because I'd walked back with Agnes, who was, her hands were covered in blood because she'd held Gerald's body as...
Gerald Ashbourne.
Gerald and Agnes.
Gerald Ashbourne's body as he was dying. Oh, talk about making light of a situation. As he was dying, so Murdoch and me walked her back in grieving mode. And then, so we'd had Gwyn's funeral shortly after that, and then we were just walking back, and that's when Tristan came running up the path and just said, where is he? And then we went back to the
Corpse Glade.
I was still stood there just in shock.
Yeah, and then there's some awesome pictures of Tristan grieving.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I made a bit of a joke, which I don't think Tristan took too well. I turned around to Tristan and I said, well, at least that's one less space in the ox cart on the way home. And he didn't look too amused.
Such a filthy look.
I know. I went, okay, I guess we're dealing with this in different ways. I'll leave you to it. I just kind of walked off.
I think I was just saying, at least we know he's good with directions, so he'll find his way through the labyrinth quite quickly.
Yeah. But yeah, it was so strange processing our first close icy death. Like, we've obviously heard people talk about how like emotional it is and how it can feel real. And I wasn't ready for kind of how drastic it is.
It doesn't hit you till it does. And I know that doesn't sound very helpful, but it's true. It's like you just don't realize how heavy it's going to hit until it does. And you're like, oh, I get it now. I understand. And I find it a lot easier to get sad, I see.
But... We're dealing with it very differently. I think Nietzsche's starting to become a jaded mercenary captain.
Yeah, I think you were most upset by Salt. And then since then,
my homeboy. Yeah, losing four is a lot. But we're mercenaries. And as my catchphrase is now...
Let the balls out.
No. We're mercenaries. We're not heroes.
So leave that for Dawn.
Leave that for Dawn.
And Wintermark again.
Because, I got to do another funeral, which I think I'm getting quite good at now.
I think this is
well done.
You've had a lot of practice, I guess.
Wasn't that actually what you wanted to be when you grew up, when you were a kid? You wanted to be a funeral director.
Until then, COVID hit, and then I got a massive phobia of death.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, this is the third funeral I've led at Empire, which seems to be fun. We have the tradition of getting Martim to cast the Speak with Dead spell. So we all have our final words. I go around the circle and ask them if they want any last words. I'll say some things. I think I use this as the chance to
ask them praise to leave you the riches.
No. I use it as a chance to praise their courage, but say they might have lacked some wisdom. Stay together and listen to orders. Don't run off the leash like mad dogs.
That's what you want when you during your funeral, getting told
off. I didn't
off.
Say it in that.
The performance like review.
Yeah. Right, you scoundrels.
This is what went wrong.
See these dead fuckers here? Their fault, all right? Don't do what these idiots did.
But Nisha's going to come into E3.
Cast Voice for the Dead. Cast it. I want to tell them off. You stupid cunt. Do you know how much you cost?
Amen.
Well, actually, one of them did make the point when we did a speech to pay Dead. It's like, I finally got paid. Please send that pay on to my sister who will be attending Anvil soon.
Oh, yeah, I owed Gwyn a crown. Well, he said a pound, then a crown.
Not anymore.
Before the battle.
Was it 4 crowns?
Oh, maybe. And then after he died, I just had this slight like, ooh. I don't have to pay Gwyn back.
Just no debt. Crying at his funeral going, oh.
Oh, I'm going to keep that.
Debt-free.
One of them's like, Nietzsche, you owe me money. Where's my 6 crowns? It's in the post. I didn't actually owe him 6 crowns.
Oh my
grand.
God, that's just your go-to, isn't it, Nietzsche?
Yeah. So had some wonderful funerals, but we did have one last use or one last promise to fulfill for these two jackdaws, Wilhelm and Bertie. As mentioned on previous episodes, Quadraco had insulted us and our mercenary company for saying we broke during E3's battle last year, which we really dispute, and it was a big insult to Salt, who died in that battle. So we literally carried the bodies over to Quadraco and said to Guy himself, I'm like, look at these bodies. These are two troops who died for their empire. Do they look like they broke? No, they fought like fucking heroes.
And I'll never do it again.
Yeah. We also went to Wise Guys because we owed Purnell a favour, which was for all his service and help he's given to the Jackdaws over the years. We promised to fill the bar with people whose lives they had saved. And that was his test of metal. Their test of metal, to fill the bar. And so, yeah, they managed to pass their test of metal, which was a little bit of a fantastic ending.
Lovely.
They become the... Is it a lord?
Yes. Well, it depends on their pronouns, I guess. But if it depends
lord,
on the
I believe they went.
Yeah, right. Okay, cool.
So they became a lord and instantly challenged the other lord to become successor of the house. So they all go into the glory square. I'm like, we'll do one last thing for my brave troops who like good old scrap. We picked up their bodies and effectively weekend at Bertie's them.
Weekend at Bernie's?
No, well, it's weekend at Bertie's.
It was weekend at Bertie's, yeah.
So we're like, they'll want to see this battle. So just like puppeted them, like, yeah, clapping over this duel, having a whale of a time. I think you were watching, looking massively confused from your
text. You wanted me to join in the pub and I was like, I have something to do. I can't remember what that thing was, but yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of my final bit of the event. Weekend at Bertie's, two dead jackdaws so they could see a final fight.
Lovely.
We had standing in Navarre and it was just a lot of defeated-looking faces and Anwyn saying that we hadn't really met any of the objectives. There was someone, I think they were from the League, I actually don't know, but there was someone there that was that was writing down names for the Book of the Dead.
It's one of the Barossas. So, what was it? Rossa? Something. I can't remember.
Yeah, so we were...
Italian Barossa?
Someone.
Yeah.
But so we were in the circle. There was... Anwyn was going around pointing. When they were pointing at you, you would say the names of the people you had lost. So obviously we had said Gwyn, we had mentioned the Dusk Owls, Gellert was mentioned. But there were quite a few names for Navarre. Now, considering we're one of the biggest nations to go and fight, we don't usually lose that many people, but we lost quite a few.
Do you have an exact number?
It was about 13.
Well, the league's much smaller than you, and we lost 11.
Yeah.
It was a massive hit.
Yeah.
It was a really brutal battle. But so we had that. Then there was Thor's Council. It was a bit of confusion with Thor's Council because the information that we met all the objectives was given, but that wasn't the case. And it got a bit confusing with things. But yeah, the rest of the day, we just kind of...
grieved.
And Sophie, again, still forget the name, but Sophie from Fancy Nuts podcast and from Embercast, the one that was the healer trying to heal Gwyn, came over to our camp and we had not a mini celebration, but, you know, we embraced and we were like, thank you so much for your help. You know, we know you did everything you could. And they were like, yeah, they were telling us the story again and, like, well, you know, you've always got friends over here with us. You know, once you've shared that together, you know, that's a bond that people don't really break. There was just like a lot of lovely words exchanged and it was really, really emotional. The entire thing was emotional. But after that, kind of half icy, half OC, went and spoke to the Dusk Owls. Obviously, they were OC because they were dead. RIP, sorry. But I was just like, you know, at least you kind of got your first character death out of the way early on and you hadn't put years of emotional investment into it, which I suppose is a positive. But I was like, you know, you've always got friends at the Dreadshields. If you do decide to come back and you come back to Navarre and you want to risk your lives again, feel free to risk them under me, whatever. But so just kind of half IC, half OC for the rest of the day.
Top moments for the event?
Very quickly, yeah.
What? Why do I not see this coming every time?
it's a tradition.
Saturday night, Cold Sun Deaths.
Cool.
The peak of my game absolutely ripped me apart. Fantastic emotional RP came from that.
The amazing laugh of being hired by Benno DiCarvo for the Grand Tunnel of Two Thrones.
Who do you work for, Jack Dawson?
Benno de fucking Carvo!
The Ember crawled and playing music with other bards.
Hell yeah.
Pie and mash and being four crowns up.
Hell yeah.
I feel like I probably should say line captaining because it's been a very high character goal for Niamh for a long time. But even though I don't remember the conversation, but the conversation of being told that Gwyn was dead. Oh, no, wait, I changed my answer. Because obviously he hadn't been a new character, but when Jack told me what his message for Niamh was, that hit me. Yeah, that was my highlight. Even though it was the saddest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. That was it.
Lovely.
Well, on that note.
Well, thank you very much.
Depressive.
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. As everybody knows, I am contractually obliged to read out every 5-star review that we receive on this wonderful podcast.
You still not read mine out yet?
Have we got one?
Which one have I not read out?
I left one on Spotify.
Oh no, it's on the app.
I can't go with the Spotify. I've explained this several times.
It's all right, never mind.
You have to know it. I'm doing it now. You've made a thing of it, so I have to.
look at that huff face. Look,
all I'm saying is, what you have to do is you have to listen to it once on Spotify. That's fine. That's your platform of choice. Then you have to go to iTunes, listen again, and review it on
there. If you've not got...
It's not that hard.
What if you've not got an iPhone?
You can still access Apple Podcasts.
Can you?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Right, I found it. Okay. So, wonderful comment from one of our listeners, Alex.
Anonymous.
Anonymous. Oh, is it anonymous? Yeah. So, from one of our commenters, listeners, Alex anonymous.
Anonymous Alex.
Oh, do you reckon I have to do this to a kind of rhythm?
Yes.
I've got Pants That Are Icy, My Money in the Memorial, Borsi, MC Morgan on the mic. Hit me up if you fancy. Hey! Oh, and then another one from YouTube where they've used 5 separate star emojis for 5 stars. I'll accept that. Hello from Canada. I couldn't find a wider variety of stars. No, you did pretty well, I think. Tom, stop fingering your tea.
Never. I know if it's warm.
Yes, what we'd absolutely love for you to do is, if you want to support us, we are on Patreon, where you can support us there on Fabletop. What you have to do is give us a 5-star review.
Remember, if you don't give us a 5-star review, that's not a star per person, which means you're picking favourites. And yep. then you've got to tell us who yep, your favourites yep, are.
Exactly. but yeah, you are you are also obliged to give us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Like, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Also, a really easy way for you to support us if you're new to Empire is our discount codes are in the comments. That'll give you £15 off your first Empire ticket. And it'll give us £15 off.
Woo!
What a treat.
Yes, please.
So, yes, that would be fantastic. But, yeah, as usual, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We will be back soon with yet-to-be-determined content, and then we're getting geared up for E3 already, which is absolutely insane. well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.